We did it. Congrats, everybody. We made it to Friday. Fan morning show. Brent Gunning, Sam McKee here. And we're going to end the show with some shout-outs. I'm going to start the show with a shout-out. My man behind the glass, Andrew, hooking me up with one-third of the Holy Trinity. Coffee, he hooked me up with the cooler. And now I'm going to talk some sports with my bud McKee. Sammy, how's it going, bud?
I'm all right. Tired going on. It's getting to me.
Just, come on.
Just getting to me.
Today, I'm a little more frustrated by that than normal because I let you have your quiet. I could tell you wanted it, and I let you just. Yeah. We sat.
Can we do another half an hour?
We sat here for 6 minutes in dead silence leading up to a show, which I think led to the start that we just had of like, I'm okay, man.
No,
you could have got the wheels going just a hair, and then that wouldn't have happened.
I've controlled amount of takes today.
I didn't even ask for takes. I just asked for you to be alive.
I went to bed earlier than usual last night.
That's the problem.
It was bed by 9:45. I was awoken last night by one of the loudest bangs of thunder I have ever heard in my life. It was so loud. It was a thunderstorm in my room. I couldn't believe how loud it was. I wasn't expecting a storm. I didn't know that they were forecasting a little bit. I saw some videos up in Peterborough of some flooding and stuff up there. So I hope all my people up in the Peter Patch are doing all right. Mm. But it came through and started pouring rain, and then the bang of thunder legitimately sounded like a bomb went off in my backyard. I was like, oh my God, it woke me right up. And that's not why I'm tired, I went right back to sleep immediately. But
you are the king of that.
But it was so loud. So thunderstorms in the summer in Toronto, always get me going a little bit. It's really nice to fall asleep to the sound of a bit of rain.
I
shouldn't think about sleeping right now because it's
if I would have woken up from
hot
said
here.
Thunder. If I would have woken up from it, I would never have gone back to bed. Like, I am the worst for that. Like, once I am up, I'm up. Like, this morning, like, eyes were open an hour before the alarm was supposed to go off. And I'm like, I guess I'm just awake now. All right, great. 3 in the morning. Lovely. There's no golf on. This sucks.
There's not?
Well, I mean.
They're not playing in Dubai somewhere?
I don't think so. And I don't. I could be wrong, but I don't think that's going on right now. And even if it is, I, masochist that I am, don't need to watch DP World Tour.
You don't need to watch the Road to Dubai? That's just as important as the majors to Rory.
If it was a marquee event, you could talk me into it maybe. But the old Southern Peninsula of Spain Open, I think I'm good on that. I don't even think there is a Southern Peninsula of Spain. I don't think that's how geography works.
I'm trying to think of
there's
what
like
Spain
islands
looks like
off
on a map.
Of Portugal, but there's definitely no Southern Peninsula of Spain.
Yeah, so
I feel like it's like quasi landlocked in by Portugal and stuff.
So I don't really know.
Okay,
I don't know. I'm no geography guy at all. I don't know. Were you good in geography?
I was good in geography in the sense of like geography, like always bled into a little bit of like geopolitics of like, you know, do these countries get along? How much is this? So I always like enjoyed it for that, but not like, I love maps. Like I'm not, you know, I can be a nerd and a dork about stuff, but not to the point where I'm like, oh my God, look at my favorite map.
You ever do the thing when you were a kid with the what's the thing that spins with the world on it?
A globe?
A globe.
Yeah.
You ever do the thing where you'd spin it as fast as you could and you're like, my next trip is going to be here. And he'd like hit it and it would like stop. And he'd be like, I'm going to Madagascar.
Even as a child, I'm like, I want my next trip to be within this house. I don't want to go anywhere that's outside of my comfort zone. Even as a child, I was like, that game, too scary for me. Even.
Wow.
Yeah.
I traveled a lot when I was younger.
I did not. And then it's funny, I actually did.
Well, I've been far and around the world.
When
I'm a world traveler.
When I was younger, like when I was a baby, like my parents took me places and stuff. And then I remember, when I was a baby, and then
that's the only time they could convince you to go.
And then honestly, I like never went anywhere until I was 16. And then in a month, when I was 16, I had we did the school trip to Europe. And my mom was like, come on, you need to like experience some things in this world.
Yes.
Happy she pushed me to do it, did it. But then I came back and this was not planned before I left.
Mm-hmm.
I came back and my mom's like, hey, don't like unpack too much stuff because I got like a great deal on an all-inclusive. So we're going to the Dominican in like 4 days. And I'm like, can I just sit in Canada? And I honestly think from that experience of just being outside of the country for like a month, more or less straight, I'm just like, no, I need to be here. I need to stay all the time.
Wow. Yeah. I've been to Egypt.
Wow.
I've been to Europe. I've been to, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, I did like the America. Europe. I did like the Europe, like we did like Switzerland, we did Germany.
Yeah, that's good. That's pretty good.
Where else? It's like a fake country, sorry, but like Liechtenstein.
Okay, well, like, I thought you were going
to
say Monaco.
No, the reason it's a fake country is because I had to pay to get my passport stamped. They're like, we'll do it really nice, but it's a euro.
Same with Monaco, they did the same thing.
Okay.
I paid €5 to get my thing stamped.
Pricey in Monaco.
Yeah.
Was it worth it?
No.
No. God, no. God, no.
Shout out Rob Reed Taylor. He's like, we got to do it. You love Bond. And it's a Casino Royale. Yeah,
fair.
He's like, you know, we got to. He's like, this is where the original. What was the book? Like, the book was the guy that wrote the books? The Bond guy?
I don't know. I just think of Roger Moore, but that's one of the first Bonds.
No, isn't that right?
No, I think that's like the first Bond.
But he was like, the original book is based in Monaco. We need to get the stamps. And he loved Bond.
You know what? Honestly, like, it is corny, but if you have a hook, I'll hear it.
He loves Bond.
Yeah.
Shout out Rob. Haven't thought of him in a while. He's one of my good buddies from back in Old Sound.
We were in Sir Monaco together. Roger Moore was an English actor who played James Bond,
okay,
but not the guy who wrote the books. And that'll be the extent of my James Bond.
So, and when I was 18 years old, my parents, I saved up enough money. I worked two jobs for 6 months.
Yeah.
And saved. I worked 6:45 through 15 at Max Milk, and I delivered pizza for Pizza Hut in the evening every day for 6 months.
Work ethic was a lot better than it is now.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I was young and fun and full of you-know-what. It was a really great time because I didn't have any responsibilities, didn't have any bills to pay, just stacking bank, just making money.
Oh, yeah.
Delivering pizzas, loving life. And then, I saved up the money and I backpacked across Europe at age 18 by myself for half of it. My good buddy Emerson joined me for the other half. When I got to the airport, I left. I had a money belt. You know how it's like, a money belt?
Yeah.
When we were walking, I was hanging out with my whole family, like before we left, and I left my money belt that had my passport.
Vintage.
All my money. All my inner. Sitting at the gate. And my mom, when I'm 18-year-old, long haired stoner Sam McKee,
Afro Sammy?
She's like, I can't let you go.
No, I can't do this now.
And I was like, I'm going. And I got on the plane, I went and I got through it.
I
survived.
I'm trying to think, like, if you concocted my personal hell, it might be I'm going to set you on your own across Europe, make fun of it.
I think
that might be my actual personal hell.
It was really fun. There was some dark moments for sure when you're like alone, but you know, I'm pretty good at making friends, and I made friends with people all across Europe, and I had a really fun time, but there's a couple dark moments.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Jays in one sec here, but last thing for that on me is that's always my problem with there's one person who cares dearly.
Daniele?
No.
Oh.
Keep going up that ladder, bud. The problem with me with traveling is always that the good has to be, like, I was on vacation, I had the best time ever, and I won the lottery to make up for, you know, like, to use our Alberta example, it's like, I lost my golf clubs for 2 days, and it just, like, threw me into a wreck. Like, I can never not think about the bad first as opposed to the good.
Well, maybe this is more turning into a therapy session, Gunnar. There's lots of good in the world, pal.
A lot of people who would say I need that.
There's lots of good in this world.
Mm, false. I am waiting for the good. There's one good in this world. It's the Leafs lifting Lord Stanley's mug. That's the good. Like, and then when I have that, I actually feel like I'll be able to see the light in other places.
I know.
Hey, why do you think I have such a defeatist attitude about everything?
I really don't think we'll ever see that, ever. So, sorry to be like that.
I'm just telling you, it's like that. It is so dark how much I connect everything. I was about to say that's too far of a stretch, but I don't think it is to just like, but the Leafs didn't win. So how good could it possibly be?
I will say that, you know, doing this job, I have become the perfect amount of jaded where like it's enough of my job where I'm like, they lost tonight.
Never.
Summer starts.
So
I was still sour when they lost. I was like,
this is where
it bleeds, Gunner.
This is very different about this is a little more our work-life balance as well. But
Ian Fleming is who wrote the books from Mike and Asimbonia.
So Asimboya.
Thank you.
All right. There you go.
Ian Fleming. That's who wrote the Bond books.
Fake grinder Rick in Niagara says he's the Liechtenstein of grinders because he's a fake grinder and it's fake country.
That's
so I thoroughly enjoyed that.
So, you want to break down the Hall of Fame game?
I want to break down those pipes on DeMarcus Ware.
So, I was trying to like do some reading because I thought it was like a tribute to like maybe his mom or a tribute to
Demaryius Thomas.
It was a tribute to him,
apparently.
So is he just they like to sing together?
I didn't wholly understand why he had to sing in tribute to him.
Like I love that he is that much for the boys.
We love brotherhood,
buddy. I you know, like if you pass tomorrow and we love to sing Ring My Bell together at Lakeview.
Ring my bell.
And they're like, at the first Leafs game of the season, Sam McKee will be singing a rendition of O Canada in tribute to his great friend Brent Gunning. I would not be doing it.
No, I don't think so.
I love you, man, but God, I think that takes more guts than anything.
Literally anything.
Like I don't know, you know, I can't imagine getting out there. And like, he sucks. He's a bad singer.
So does he know?
That's a great question.
Because like, this is Hall of Famer super stud who could still rip your head off squeezing a grape.
And like, he's one of those guys that hasn't put on 1 pound of fat. He is still juiced.
Exactly.
Jacked.
Yeah. So I think that's more the problem.
Mm-hmm.
I assume his partner maybe could say, hey, don't do that.
You're no good.
But that's like,
he did it as a tribute.
That and his mama. That's it. Like, honestly, who is on the list of people that get to go to DeMarcus Ware and look him in the eye and be like, maybe not that.
I'm sure there's a couple guys that like,
but he's not around. But he's not around them anymore. He's not in the room. Like when he was
who played with him? Like, you don't think what's the guy that plays for the Bills now? Von Miller. Miller was like, because they played together in Denver, right?
Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I think he was on that team when they won the Super Bowl.
There you go.
And he's like, hey, man, like, maybe just like, no. Sing.
Yeah, but that's, I think he's been retired, so he's just out of it. Like when he was in the locker room,
no way he does that.
Well, you know he's singing in the shower.
Yeah, for sure.
And the boys are hammering him.
They're like, you suck.
And now he's been out of that.
I don't know if I'd be saying anything to DeMarcus Ware.
That's what I mean. This is
when
what
I'm getting
at.
When he gets his tarp off, he's like, you're good.
Now you're good. You're good. You're okay. Right. You're hitting one note. I don't know which one it is, but keep hitting it, bud.
I will say that is now like into the lexicon of bad anthems.
So Fergie. Carl Lewis, like his voice cracked and he went like, uh-oh.
The best one ever by far is the CFL one.
Oh, yeah.
Where the guy's like, oh, Christmas tree.
Oh, Canada. Yeah. That one is hilarious.
And the poor woman.
Oh, who
with
had
Team Canada?
And the guy came out,
or she came out.
Yes, and then broke her head. Yeah,
and then she ran off the ice because she was embarrassed. And then she came back on, and the little mat slipped out from underneath
so
her.
Bad.
And she went down, and the camera flashed straight to Draper, and Draper's like, like laughing, but like embarrassed. I'm surprised not because you know the classic thing they do during the anthem.
Yes.
Is they go around,
of course,
looking at everyone's face.
This is why the Fergie one was so great, because the NBA guys.
Like, that one, there's few internet videos that make me laugh every single time. And that one gets me every single time, because, like, Draymond is the first one where he starts, like, licking his lips and looking down. He's like, oh, boy.
It's like, of course he'd be the first one.
But how did they not break last night? All these guys, I guess because it's like, super tough guy stud, DeMarcus Ware. They're like, I can't show this guy up. But I would have been cracking up.
I don't know how you don't.
I would have been dying. So, anyways, I watched.
The other great one as well wasn't so much a botching, but do you remember when the now three tenors, the fourth tenor,
went
like
rogue.
All Lives Matter and held up the sign and everyone's like, what's going on?
He went rogue. I forgot about that one.
Yeah, that is somebody texting in Roseanne Barr. I do recall her. This like a staple of top 10 list, just screaming.
Yeah, I remember that one.
I mean, you get what you pay for on that one.
Yeah.
That's a Booker's issue.
Yeah, that's a producer issue, not her.
And then not national anthem, but now all I'm thinking of is the myriad of incredible take me out to the ball games at Wrigley.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, like Ozzy is the gold standard. Like, and he's just like looks like he's gonna fall over.
I just think there's not many things that you get exposed harder on when you're outside of it than singing.
Totally.
Like first pitches, like people bounce them or whatever,
it's
but it's like
that's
a singular moment that happens fast.
Yeah.
When you're singing the anthem and you suck, that's a solid 3 minutes in front of 20,000 people where there's nowhere to hide.
No.
It's like, that is, I actually think my personal hell is getting thrown onto the Rogers Center field and being like, sing the anthems. And like having to get through both of them and being like, that's just me you in would, perpetuity not being able to sing.
I disagree. By the you would start out nervous, and by the end of it, no you way. Would be high-stepping on the Jays dugout like, well, come on, well, no, boys and girls.
No, what I would do is I would have to go to the outfield bar beforehand.
You'd be like, talk to me in one inning.
Yeah. Give me the background sound and all the words on the Jumbotron so I can read them all, even though I know them. But like, I just need a little reminder. Karaoke.
Yeah.
So speaking of the Rogers Center, buddy.
Jays, we're all happy. Yeah, we do. Kevin Gausman.
I don't care. Whatever. He was no good.
Okay.
I kind of called that yesterday.
Yeah, you did.
Didn't like the matchup. Didn't like the way he's been throwing since the All-Star break.
So where are we at on that then?
I think he's hurt, probably. I think the Orioles are one of the best teams in the league. Yep. So I think that has something to do with it, too. I don't think he's pitching 100%. He was hitting, his velocity was higher yesterday.
Just go Kevin Barker on me.
What did I say? 100%. 100%. His velocity was fine yesterday. There's potential to me that he was tipping yesterday. They were spitting on his splitter the whole game. They weren't touching it. But to me, the pitching is not worth talking about. Sure, they were no good yesterday. They put Thomas Hatch into the game. You know, they, whatever. The offense is.
We can have the conversation about the offense. I will just quickly say on Gausman that I'm with you. I don't think this is a guy who's fallen off a cliff. I think there could be some injury thing. But the thing I will say about that is that if Gausman is more of a 2-3 than a true one, it really does change the pitching math for this team as well. Because as much as we like.
Well, they have a 6-man rotation now. It's like every 6 day, he'll be getting more rest. I think he'll be okay.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah. I'm pre-getting ahead of the story that if all of a sudden Jose Barrios is the ace of this Jays staff down the stretch, that's a very, very different animal. And we like him. But we like him in that mold where he is the 1B or the 2 or however you want to look at it. If all of a sudden he's your stopper, and I know Kikuchi's that guy right now, but you understand what I'm saying. Going into a playoff series, if that's the guy you trust the most, I'm not saying it is disaster zone, but it big time changes the math, especially when you look at Manoa and what he's been and Bassett getting touched up a little bit lately. So, yeah, we can talk about the bats. I agree with you that that's the bigger thing, but I think the bigger picture, nothing's changed with the bats. They've been brutal. They continue to be brutal, but with the pitching, this Gausman thing has been, you know, I look back at it, it's been over a month now since he had his true kind of last shutdown performance. It was June 27th against the Giants, 3 hits, 1 earned run, 12 Ks, and it's been a while since he's given you anything approaching that.
Yeah, he was good against the Angels, left him in too long. He pitched, I think was it the fifth inning that he loaded the bases or the sixth inning? He should never have come out for that inning, or he should have been out immediately after.
But even that's
the first
what I'm getting
guy.
At. It's like if he is your like front of the line starter, and you're like, well, we couldn't get him through the fifth inning. It's like that's a problem.
Yeah, I'm not worried about that.
Okay, cool. We can talk about the
on the power rankings of things that concern me about the Blue Jays. Kevin Gausman's bad three starts, two and a half bad starts in a row, are not the thing that even close to the top of the list. There's few things to me that are more. So, you know what? Okay, this is a sports talk radio thing, but.
Good place to do it.
You know, there's few things that are set up for a perfect storm of anger.
Mm.
Like a good team, a team that's supposed to be elite, a team that's supposed to be contending for a championship, that is completely underachieving. And that is this team. They are the definition of that. I think they were the World Series favorites at one point heading into the season, like in the book, like in Vegas, I guess. But you look at them now, and they're far from that, as I don't need to tell you that.
15-1 last I looked. Probably gone down.
Really?
Yeah, that was at
that
the start.
Is a
that was
awful bet.
That was
do
that
not
was,
do that.
That was post dead or that was right at the deadline. So that would have been in the middle of this O's series.
Okay, so they're probably up to like 17 or 18. Yeah. I guess maybe it wouldn't hurt them that bad. Yeah. It's one series. There's too much to play. But I think that the I can't remember. And you know this is anecdotal, and we're doing it like day to day here. But I can't remember a frustration with a team that's supposed to be good. Like, I guess you think back to 2016 when that team was a grind to watch. They were such a grind. They never scored. They relied on pitching. That year they had 5 guys in their starting rotation. Or 6. So they had 6 guys. Drew Hutchinson made 1 start that year. And the rest of it was just 5 guys. Their pitching was great. They had a good bullpen. And they never scored runs. It was a grind all year. And I remember just pulling my hair out watching that team. So I guess that's like one of the last times they were really good. But the offense has never been an issue with this era of Blue Jays baseball. You never worried about them not scoring. Like, they'd have stretches, right, where they'd be, you know, in a little bit dormant, but that's baseball. This has been the whole season of the complete...
Outside of Matt Chapman being an MVP candidate for the month, and that changed the math of the offense, but you're right.
Their complete inability to have, not to cash guys in with runners in scoring position. Like, that's, I mean, we'll put that aside.
Park that for now, yeah.
Their inability to have a decent at-bat with runners in scoring position.
I thought Siddle was going to fight Espinal last night.
I actually, like, not to say that I, you know, have the same thoughts as elite Blue Jays analyst Joe Siddle.
Yeah.
But when that happened, I stood up. I was like, what are you doing?
When
you're down two, get on base, man.
The fact that in the broadcast, like, you know, they do their little rejoiner often, but it's usually, yeah, here's something I like, here's whatever.
Hot.
He's just like, I am going, and the fact that they're like, and believe me, I have more on this. So there will be a full breakdown in the postgame. He was livid, rightfully so.
I didn't see the postgame.
Yeah.
Because
didn't either.
I quit on the Toronto Blue Jays.
I went to be a parent.
I went to be a dog parent. I had two dogs at my sister-in-law's dog staying with us, so I have two dogs.
Type's the other one. And you got a little wiener and loo dog?
No, it's a little island dog. And they're both just sitting there staring at me, and it was 4-1 going to the bottom of the ninth. I'm like, all right, boys, let's go.
Let's go.
There's just zero chance.
Yeah.
There is zero chance that they're going to come back in that game. I don't think, like, they are a talented team.
Mm-hmm.
Full of guys that are supposed to be good baseball players. They lost their best player. Losing Bo Bichette completely neuters their offense. I get that. But it shouldn't look like this. Like, I know, like, he's their best hitter. Like, you know, he's your leader-y guy. He plays shortstop. He hits second. I think he has 15% of all their hits the whole year.
Did you almost say face the franchise?
I mean, I wish they would have given him the super banger, like the 14-year, $400 million. He's the best guy by far.
Yep.
Like, no question.
Yeah.
There's no Blue Jays fan listening to this that says they would rather have Vladdy than Bo.
Nope.
No question. I just
didn't know you're allowed to say it out loud.
I'll say it out loud.
No, I know. Yeah,
Vladdy is trending towards the B word.
Oh.
Like, compared to what his expectations were, he drove in the only run of the game. Yeah. I understand he had a hit and was scoring in position yesterday.
Did
he was
you
the
see
only
his
one.
Numbers there that they flashed
up? Yeah, he's good at it. He's decent.
Yeah, it's weird, yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm at a loss for words.
Yeah.
I watch this team every night. And I never enjoy it. Like, when do they ever have a laugher? When, like, I guess they played the Angels and they scored, like, they blew them out in one game. But every game is a grind. It's not fun to watch. It's not a good product. There's no approach. They're swinging wildly. Like, you know, I am so annoyed by this team. And I don't know what you can do. It's past the deadline. Earlier this week, there was a deadline in which you can add offense to your team when they can play and they're eligible for the playoffs.
They got Paul DeJong, okay?
You could trade for guys that aren't on your roster for a guy that's on your roster.
Darwin Barney walking through that door.
They missed they are in grave danger of missing a playoffs. Because they're going to this weekend series here now with the Boston Red Sox.
Who can hit.
Who can hit. And they hit well in that park, and they're plucky.
It's a band box, yeah.
And the Jays have yet to beat them this season. If the Jays, we're talking about panic buttons.
Yeah.
Boy, it's coming in. But listen, I'm off all next week. I got to tell you right now.
You're thrilled.
I'm not watching this weekend. I need a break. We need a break. I can't do this every night. I can't go in there every night against the teams that they need to beat and do this. They're horrible to watch. It's an awful product. I'm sick of watching these guys approach in these spots. It's terrible, Gunner.
I would love to sit here and have a pushback for you, right? Like, the worst thing in radio is me saying, agree, but you're right. Like, you look at it. To a man, everybody who is in this lineup right now, which Bichette is not a part of because he is absolved of all of this stuff. Now, the runners in scoring position thing, with him, I will hear, it is bad luck. It is bad numbers, whatever. But with the rest of this team,
I will not say one bad thing about my sweet baby Bo. He's the only guy.
We talk about Chapman. Even Chapman, okay? Like,
even Chapman? He's waving
at... No. Let me fit. But what I was about to say is, Chapman, okay, so you're not hitting. It's a wet noodle up there. do not have an error that allows two runs to cash with
DeJong didn't rotate. Mr.
Fundamentals. I understand that. It doesn't mean you have to airmail the throw. I'm not going to completely absolve him of that, and you're right. And again, I like that so much. I texted you about how much I love the Dan and Buck. We're all over that immediately.
Of course. Well, it's an elite broadcasting.
It's like even that thing, that is what frustrates me the most. If you are going to be the wet noodle team that has good pitching and great defense, have good pitching and good defense. And this goes to, again, is the biggest problem in the world with this team right now Gausman? No. But when you don't get that, it just highlights everything else that's been consistently wrong with this team. So it is infuriating. I think this nameless texter, shout out Herm Edwards, put your name on it. It's frustrating that a team has always had great offense for years, but no pitching. Finally has a great rotation and a bullpen, but terrible offense. I think I prefer losing 10-8 than 3-1. There is something to that. Like, would you not like to just, even if you're going to lose, could you go bash some balls over the fence? Yeah, could you have a moment? Could you have a rally? Could you have something happen?
I'm beyond.
The only rally in that series was 3 straight walks, 2 hit batters, and an error. That was the only rally that this team was able to muster.
Yeah, like they are.
And credit to a couple of those walks, sure. But my God.
They were one dumb Brandon Hyde decision away from getting swept.
Yep.
They can take. Well, what did I say when it came in here yesterday? I'm like, I kind of feel exactly the same about them.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And
they are who they thought they were. Can't get them on, RIP, but they are who they thought they were.
Somebody just texted and said, today on Liars Who Lie, Sammy not watching baseball this weekend. Matt from Kitchener. No.
You're sneaking it.
No, not even. It's a long weekend, buddy. I'm enjoying myself. I may watch the Argos. May watch my beloved Argos.
I don't know if you
can cash.
I don't know if you pulled it up here, but I did include it in our rundown for the lead topics.
Good.
Said your Argos look to go 7-0 tonight in Calgary.
Yep. I may watch that.
Okay.
But I will not. I'm sorry, Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I will not be putting it on. I cannot do it.
Okay, this is bad. I'm sitting here. I'm like, God, I'm so jealous of you. You don't have to watch them.
No, I'm not watching. It's sickening. It's so hard to watch. And he's just, like I said, if they were having good at-bats in these spots, I would get it. And, you know, they're having hard luck and they're bashing balls all over the park.
Yep.
But they
can live with it.
They're barely making contact in some of these spots. Like,
yep.
How many hittable pitches is Matt Chapman going to swing through? Just waving at hanging breaking balls. Vladdy can't turn on a heater.
No.
Like, okay, let me ask you this question.
Yes.
Who do you have any faith in in the Blue Jays lineup? Yeah. Bang.
That was great radio.
That says it all.
I didn't even mean, I actually did not, like, something. Like I tried to, I didn't try to have that sound as indecisive as it did. That was way too good, but you're right.
I'm sitting here and I want to give,
honestly, it's like, I'll be honest, I'm a touch conflicted. The reason I did the teeth kiss to answer that question is because do I feel confident about it? No. But you look at the numbers of what Vladdy's produced with men in scoring position. He actually has it. He's been a better hitter with them in scoring position, but I don't feel better about it.
All right, let's play a game.
Mm.
Rank your confidence ranking. What do we want to do? 5 stars or out of 10?
Okay.
What do you want to do?
Oh, 5.
Okay.
Math is hard.
Whit Merrifield confidence rankings.
4.
Okay. I'm going to go with a 5 out of 5 for my man.
Okay.
Whit.
Nobody's getting 5 on this team right now.
He is the number one guy I trust on the team.
Yep, that's fair.
That's bad.
Oh, it is.
That's very bad.
The guy who is supposed to be a spare part.
Your number 2 hitter, Brandon Belt.
2.
Yeah. And he's been one of their better guys. He gets on base. He takes walks.
That's why he gets the 2.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. out of 5. 5 stars.
2.
I'll give him a 3.
Okay.
That's a pedigree 3.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's...
George Springer.
0.
0. Matt Chapman.
0.
1.
Okay.
Alejandro Kirk.
I mean, I've 0. Been saying 0 from the jump.
Varsho.
Negative.
DeJong.
I hate him already.
Has he had a good at-bat yet?
No.
It's like, oh my God, he fits in perfect. They got the perfect guy. Kevin Kiermaier.
1.
I'll give him a 3.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah, I like Kiermaier. So... That's bad.
It is.
And I look at this lineup in front of me and the way they're hitting and the way they were knew they were hitting, I'm all the way back on bad deadline. I was saying, you know, I was making the argument that it's like You got to get your guy. You got to find a way to have your big guys be big guys. I don't think they're going to be. I think they're just having bad years, and this is just what it is, and you needed to inject something into the room to just have a different option.
Honestly.
And that's why, who'd they call it? Davis Schneider?
Yeah.
Like, okay. Like, great. Was he a 28th round pick? Is he going to come up here and rake? Like, it's now that I look back on it, and I know it's recency bias because it's 1 week.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's a horrible Tao series right after. It's Tao. Anyone.
But it's
Fam.
Tao. It's really Tao.
What up, Fam?
Yeah.
Jake Berger, the Burger Boy. Sure.
Yeah.
Anyone to just come in and just give me a different look. And then I guess they got Paul DeJong or whatever.
So
but like,
I actually, the more I think about it, I actually feel like it had to be Tao. Because if you look at, okay, like, what up, Fam? It's a bat, okay? Maybe there's a, like a touch pedigree there. He's done some things. Maybe that does something. Berger comes in. And I don't know, maybe the guys in the room have more respect for him, but to the fan base and everybody, it's just, guess what? Just another guy, okay? He's just going to get infected by this swinging at the first pitch and terrible ABs, and that is why I feel like, because of what Tao represents, it's not just that. It's the return to last year's fun, and this has been a team that's been so over-serious, and they can't hit their way out of a paper bag.
Yeah.
It is the one thing that would have allowed the clubhouse to actually have injected real, true kind of life into it. And honestly, you might as well play Davis Schneider at this point. Like, you've seen everything else. Yeah. Why not give him a look?
Well, if I got to watch Santiago Espinal or Kevin Biggio have another at bat, I'm gonna legitimately lose my mind.
It's gonna be tough to make.
Like you know the meme, the Joker putting on the makeup.
Oh yeah,
that's me next Santi at bat. He's been brutal.
It's gonna be tough to make the Kevin Biggio is John Schneider's son jokes when there's a Schneider on the team who's not getting
spelt
ABs.
The exact same.
Spelt the exact same and not getting ABs because Kevin's there.
And it's like, you know, Santiago Espinal was good when he could play defense.
Yep.
But he can't even. He's not even good at that anymore.
Nope.
It's like, well, how did you not upgrade on that spot? How
did
you not?
If they needed to upgrade the shortstop and not just because of the bat, but because of the glove, then what is he doing?
Like this series.
By the way, Major League Baseball All-Star Santiago Espinal.
This series sucked. Sucked.
Yeah, it's brutal.
The Leafs. Oh, it's the Leafs. I'm looking at this big Leaf guy here, and I just said the Leafs. The Jays got taken to the absolute woodshed.
Yep. By the upstart rival.
The Orioles are their daddy. They got spanked. They took them and they bent them over their knee and they spanked them on their bottom. The only way they beat them is because their pitcher hit Chappie on the bottom.
Yep.
It's an embarrassing series that is extremely eye-opening, and the front office should be upset about what they did at the deadline. It's an embarrassment of a series. And your biggest series of the year, and how many runs did they score the whole series?
They had, what, three?
Yeah, it's not enough, regardless of what it was.
Seven,
I think.
Yeah.
In a four-game series against your bitter rival that you're trying to show, it's just not enough. It's just not enough. It's not good enough. And it's like there's a huge fan base out there that spends a ton of money. This team's sold out every night.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like they're sold out on a Thursday afternoon, beating down heat against the Orioles. They're selling out midweek games. It's like,
I think the most frustrating part is that it really doesn't seem like it's a money thing. It seems like it is a philosophical thing of prospects and wanting to hold on to it or not having faith in this group.
The fan base deserves
it
better. This was like, listen, I'll hear it. If you're rebuilding and you suck, and I'll hear that. But like, they deserve better than the product that they're giving right now. It's terrible. And I know, like, it's incredibly hard to watch.
Yeah, it's tough. And again, I think the thing that's buoyed them throughout the year has been the starting rotation. I don't want to lump it all in together, but that is why I started with Gausman. Because it's like, he is the one, not the one guy, but it's like, the starters are, and it shouldn't have to be this way, because all we ever talk about with this team is the bats on it, but the starters are supposed to be able to paper over that and give them and not that they didn't give him a fighting chance. It was a 4-1 or 3-1 game when he left it, but you understand what I'm saying there. The other part of it I don't know if you got this, but watching the game last night, it's like, as the O's continued to tack on runs, obviously, yeah, shocker, they score more runs. It's going to be harder to win.
Yeah, you bring in Thomas Hatch into the game, what do you expect?
Well, but then you have Cano.
It's like, we're bringing in Hatch to face Ryan Mountcastle. I'm like, oh, I wonder how that'll end.
Bang.
Like, anyways.
Well, and then you've got Cano warming up in the pen for the O's, and I'm sitting there, and it's like, these are the things about playoff baseball, though, right? Where you're like, put him in, Hyde. Put him in. They own this guy. He's the only guy in the league they can hit right now. And if they did not tack on those two extra runs off a Hatch, it is Cano who comes in. Yeah. And guess what? You probably smack him around a little bit, because baseball is weird like that. A team who can't hit their way out of a wet paper bag could see one guy and just turn into turn into the 27 Yankees. And I just got those playoff feels watching that game last night, not because of the intensity of it, because I'm sitting there watching Cano warm up saying, please put him in, please put him
in. And here's the thing. The Blue Jays will go on a run here.
And for sure.
You can look back on this and you can call me a dummy. And if you're like a positive Blue Jays fan, but like, you know, because they're once they're done with the Red Sox, like we talked about, they got the Guardians, they got the Cubs, they got the Phillies, they got the Reds, back to the Orioles, and then it's a run of bad teams.
Mm-hmm.
Guardians, Nationals, Rockies, Athletics, Royals. They'll probably go on a run here.
Yep.
But I'm telling you right now.
Paper Tiger.
This team ain't going anywhere. Unless they start hitting. If they start hitting consistently, if they show me a week against the good teams where they hit and they get hot and it's stretched into 2 weeks, they could go. So that's what kills me, is if they were hitting to half of their potential with runners in the scoring position, this team could go far with their pitching, with their bullpen. They just added the nastiest guy
literally
I've ever seen
in team history.
Like the nastiest guy I've ever seen. My boy Chad Green on the way. Jordan Romano throwing in a bra on the field. They're gonna have a. Did you see that?
I did not see this.
He was throwing. He had like one of those like.
Oh, the soccer vest things.
He was throwing.
He was to go look at that.
He was long tossing.
Okay.
But he had a shirt underneath, but it was a bra. He looked like a bra. I was trying to make a joke.
No, it's funny. I was like, what happened here? Did I miss? Okay. I'm sorry I derailed you, but it's funny.
If they maybe get hot against some good teams, but I'm not gonna get fooled if they start getting hot against the Royals and the A's. Like, beat a good team. Win a series against the AL East. Go into Boston this weekend when your boy won't be watching and win a series.
Speaking of Boston, here's what they have this weekend. Manoah, Berríos, Bassett.
Okay.
Feel like you're pretty confident in two of those three?
Yep. If they can find, like, it's like a playoff series. If they can find a way to win with Manoah on the mound, then they're going.
Yep. As for Boston, they have Paxton, followed by the ever-dangerous TBD twice.
Oh, boy. TBD.
Yeah. Nick Pivetta, probably one of the starts there.
Jays used to hit him hard.
Yeah, so I was looking at it. They just have
when they didn't neuter their offense in the offseason, they used to hit him really hard.
Yeah, so Red Sox, that's the thing with them is their pitching is gettable. So if you want to wake up, it's a hitter's ballpark. It's a series you need, and you got two TBDs, possibly a bullpen day on the mound there. It is I'm not going to say it's ripe for the taking because of the way this team has performed, but it is one of those where if you can get to Paxton tonight, you could force the Red Sox into their pen. It probably gums up what they want to do the rest of the weekend, and then honestly, like we said, as frustrated as we are, this is a team that if they are, what, a third of how good they can be, it's probably enough.
But I'm telling you right now, I'm not getting tricked anymore against an on-AL East teams.
Okay, but this weekend would do it for you.
If they go in there and sweep them and they win
2 or 3 or whatever.
2 or 3 and they're scoring runs and they're looking like that, sure.
Okay.
I will be interested and I may watch against Cleveland.
Wow.
But I just...
There's no way you're going a week without baseball.
I need a little break this weekend. I can't do it.
Yeah, that's, I believe, I
got plans all weekend.
Unlike the texter, I have zero problem believing you won't be on your couch. But the thing about you that I don't know how much people know is you're like a big sneak a peek while you're out guy on the phone.
And no, I'm also a guy that I'm having, doing some social things this weekend.
Okay.
Some people are coming over to my place. I need a
You're
little
very cagey about this. I don't know.
Yeah, it's just
okay.
Anyways,
sorry, I'm just teasing you.
And I like a big thing I do is like escaping for a second.
Oh yeah,
and it's always to like check in on the Jays.
Totally
can't escape, no escape. So I'm sorry to be so frustrating,
but like you're preaching to the frustration choir.
So
I just don't get worked up as much as you. But yeah, I love to be frustrated and angry about things.
At what point, is it? I hate. There's been multiple texts on the text line about the hitting coach.
Yeah,
and I usually hate that take.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, no, the guys, but like, is it the hitting coach? Is that why they have zero approach? Like, is that the problem? I don't know. I'm lost for words.
I honestly go back to the decision they made to fire Montoyo, and I was for it at the time, and I'm not saying it was the wrong one, but it's like, was it his fault that bunch couldn't get themselves together? John Schneider is not some leader of men that galvanized that group
post.
They guess what? They figured out how to play baseball and they woke up. And I look the exact same way about the hitting coach. It's like I see like several texts like, oh, go get Dante Bichette back as a hitting coach. One, that's not happening. But the other thing about it is that, okay, so maybe you have like a dead cap bounce of 2 weeks where see this all the time in
they
hockey.
They need it.
Yeah.
They need that 2 week dead cat bounce.
Yeah.
They need that 2 weeks. I guess I mean, does that wake him up? Because they have, but then who do you make the hitting coach? Don Mattingly? He's been sitting there the whole time.
That's the thing. Like,
are you going to bring in
Eddie?
I don't know.
Eddie's
going to be like, so you got to swing as hard as you can. And then when you round the bases,
get that thing up.
Put the elbow up. That's what I used to do.
I have to say, just quickly, that was one of the highlights of my my fan career was interviewing Eddie. And we asked him about the
Ed Wing.
And he just said that he was just running around and his arm was just up. And the guys were like, that was so cool. And then he saw it on video. He's like, that is cool.
Oh,
and
it's
he just
the best.
Did it forever. That, but it was like, it was literally just like he was running weird and it stuck.
He's the man.
That,
what a hitter.
What an elite Jays giveaway. The Ed Wing Parrot t-shirt. Mm-hmm. Very, very elite.
Yeah, he could get hotter than anyone I've ever seen.
In the month of May.
Just, there'd be like a stretch of weeks where he is the greatest hitter of all time. And he hit 3 home runs in a game. And everyone threw their hats in the field, and Mike Wilner got mad.
Still a top 10 moment in his history. Awesome. Love that. And, it's interesting to see what what they'll do. I don't see a hitting coach change coming.
You're past the deadline.
It's just very,
David Schneider going to change the team?
I'm not telling you not to do it. Again, I am the last guy to call for the hitting coach's head or anything like that. I'm not saying...
That's where I'm at.
I'm not saying you
can't... I hate that thing.
I'm not saying you can't do it. I just think that it removes responsibility from the people who are actually responsible for this.
I don't know. There needs to be something.
Okay, fair. Probably should have happened
three
days ago.
It's time to have a players-only meeting, fellas. Lock them doors.
Do you think who would write? We had the text yesterday of who should the Jays fight. Who would fight John Schneider? Ted Lilly.
Chapman, because he literally did in the dugout.
Sitting on
maybe
a
say that. Hey, Chappie, maybe say the same thing about Ryan Mountcastle.
Yeah. God.
Just put him on four.
Yeah.
Four. Treat him like Ohtani when he's at Rogers Center. Throw up the four.
Treat him like Bonds.
God.
Hit him with the four like Austin Matthews.
Oh,
that's what we want
God.
To see.
Throw up four. Right.
Sammy's frustrated.
Let's talk Puck Duco when we come back.
Okay, is that what you need? I had it scheduled for there, or
and
I wasn't
Dubas,
sure
too.
If you wanted to do.
See, oh, it's I like, do. That it's, brings me back. I'm back.
Okay, you're back. Okay, so Dubas or Doku. We'll see what we have on the other side of the break. Fan Boarding Show continues on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. $590, $590 on the text line. Keep hitting us up there. Love hearing all your frustration.
I'm glad people are as mad as I am.
Yeah, I normally like that as well, but I'm actually a little more calm than you are today. Surprising. In terms of that, keep it coming on the text line. Also, if you want to be a part of the show, because you've been so helpful to us, ask for a shout-out, and you shall receive. McKee, you want to do your shout-outs at 8:30.
8:30 shout-outs. Also, text me your plans for the weekend.
Right.
It's a long weekend. People, you know, it's the last weekend of summer. The last long weekend of summer. So
there's one still in summer.
Yeah, it's September's not summer.
Buddy,
September is.
It is.
But text in your plans. Long weekend plans. I'll read them at 8:30. I'll read them throughout the show. Shout-outs coming up at 8:30, so get them in early, and I'll shout you out.
I'm going to do this starting in... February, being like, oh, we only have 30 Leaf games left. That's
and
it.
I'll be like,
that's
yes,
all we
thank
got.
God, we're getting close to summer.
What's wrong with you? What do you want? Dubas, Doku?
I want to start with Puck Duco.
Okay. You want to commend me on my efforts yesterday?
I would love to commend you on your efforts. We did it because Gunnar doesn't like it.
No, again, I like it.
We did a collaborative effort yesterday on the golf course.
Yes, I like this.
And it was fun. While we were waiting on the tee, it was a lot of fun. No,
that was not.
And
pick up the pace, guys, in front of us in Lakeview yesterday.
Brutal. But
digging their putter in the cup.
100 PIMs for the Flyers, the Blues, and the Bruins.
You botched the Flyers.
I botched the Flyers.
Which is like the...
It's embarrassing. It's one of my lowest moments ever in Puck Duco. I screwed it up so bad. I guess Tom Cecito. And he didn't have 100
no,
somehow.
No, but didn't you look it up and he had like 74 in 13 games or something?
Yeah, he was like a mutant, but he just didn't have enough. Tony Twist for the Blues, which I thought would be lower, but it was 14%. I guess he's just such a renowned meathead.
Analyst as well.
Yeah, he is?
I think he works with the team a bit in St. Louis. I could be wrong. I could be totally mixing him up with another pugilist type guy.
I'm banking that for this season, if that's the case. Yeah. And maybe the best poll of all time. Boston Bruins, 100 penalty minutes. You said, Brad, give Brad Park a try. And as a a group.
We co-signed.
We agreed. Final answer.
The thought was that
everyone gets
PIMs. There weren't a lot of dudes who didn't have 100 PIMs back then.
Yep. So I said the council agreed, and we put it in, and it was a 0.2%er for Brad Park.
Best I've ever got. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Today's is electric.
Okay, what do we got?
We're not going to do it on air because I don't think thinking on air is good, but I'm going to work throughout it. We have the far right category today is Olympic gold medal.
And the three
are Flames, Oilers, and Avalanche.
Okay, so here's my question.
They had to have won a gold medal and played on that team, not while they were on that team.
Oh, okay, because isn't that the case for the Hart or whatever, right? Yeah. Like, you need to have done it with that team.
My first pick, and plug your ears if you don't have a really good one spoiled. For the Flames, I put Joe Nieuwendyk.
Hot.
3%.
It's pretty good.
Yep. It was at 2 when I first started.
If you can go early. If you can go non-Canadian, that's your move.
I was thinking, I don't know this one or not.
Yeah.
Because I remember him as the goalie for the 2002 when the Belarus guy shot a clapper off his head and it went in. Was Tommy Salo the goalie in 2006 when they won?
Good question. I don't know if it would have been around by then.
Maybe Lundqvist. Maybe a little Telkvist action.
Maybe a third goalie, though.
I remember Telkvist when he was like the Leafs guy. Yep. Remember?
Yeah, he
made that team. Yep. I think it was Telkvist and Hunkvist.
I mean, that is basically his name.
He's such a weapon, so it's true. So, and the other one is the Avalanche, and the obvious one is Forsberg.
Yeah.
But I think that'll be like a 50%,
sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, I would think. I mean, it's like Sakic and Forsberg together is like 80% foot.
Yeah. Was he on that? Was he on 2002? I believe he had to have been on 02 for sure. Yeah. So I might go with foot.
Foot's not bad.
Footer. Don't cross the middle of the ice when foot was present.
They're,
great radio guest.
We
had him on last year when the Avs were in town. He was excellent.
Maybe I'm misremembering this, but another internet thing that you love is Dmitry Filipovich will just be like, hey, here's 4 minutes of a guy you should appreciate. Yeah. And this feels out of his wheelhouse, but I have a memory of him just like, look at this shift of Adam Foote.
Burying dudes.
But it wasn't a cut. It was just all one shift. Like, you know how like Mike Richards has like the shift for Philly? It was like that. But it was just him murdering like 6 cycles in a row and then the Avs not being able to clear, so he had to do it all over again.
Adam Foote played 1,154 career games, 170 playoff games.
Capital W, Warrior.
Warrior. One of the worst guys probably in the world to play hockey against.
Could not think of something less fun.
And yeah, good career.
Oh, for sure.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
I don't think so.
You know, it's funny, the guys that get into the Hall of Fame, like when I close my eyes and think about a Hall of Famer, I think Adam Foote would be a Hall of Famer. But he only has 66 goals in his career.
It feels a little blasphemous, but it's like we think of him that way, and it's like he was part of the reason they were great teams. I'm not taking anything away from him, but it's like if he was a jacket, you know, we'd just be like, okay.
Well, he was a jacket.
Well, you know what I mean, though, like throughout the bulk of his run or whatever.
Actually.
I was going to say.
Columbus and Avalanche right here.
Whoa.
So I can't use Foote for – Foote's going to be – I'm putting in Foote right now for Columbus and
– You're going to lock it in?
I'm locking it in. Is that okay with the council?
That's fine with me, yeah.
Oh, 16%? Brutal. I'm embarrassed by that.
How many people had the exact same wavelength that you had?
Yeah.
Of like, oh, do him here. Oh, do him here.
I wonder what he would have been on Olympic gold medal.
And remember
– I screwed that up.
Remember, always the cheat code in this game, there are two. Mike Sillinger, Mark Recchi.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, would work as long as I don't know if Recchi ever won an award, major award, though.
Did Doug Waite play for the Carolina Hurricanes? No way.
Ooh.
I feel like he might have.
I feel like I have memories of him in like a red CCM.
Yeah,
you know who would know.
Oh, Walker and my boy, shout out Vic Palladian, the two best guys at this. Actually, you know who's really good is Matt Marchese, too.
Yeah.
The hockey guys are good at this.
Yeah, shocker.
Yep.
Hey, even our buddy on the course yesterday, shout out Primer, he was like, I'll throw some names, but I'm not
doing
this.
He's like, I suck at this.
Oh, thoroughly enjoyed it. Thoroughly enjoyed the first hour of this show with you. We saved Kyle Dubas. You can yell about him a little later on.
We may chew on that.
Yeah, we might. Sorry, Canadian PGA Tour players. Have a week. Good luck to you. We got a jam show here. Ben Schulman, Michael Grange coming up in the next hour. Lenny DiNardo coming up at 8. Talk a little bit of Red Sox. Get you set for the Jays big, big series in Fenway this weekend. 1 hour of the show is in the books. It's Fan Morning Show on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.